With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. Thanks for listening and being part of the George Christensen Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Well, welcome back to the George Christensen Show. Thanks very much for sticking with us. We're going to be talking this hour with Deborah Yule, who is a campaigner. She is one of the leaders of the Australia Exits the Who campaign. You can find their website at australiaexitsthewho.com. They're pushing for a wholesale withdrawal of Australia from the World Health Organization, from its international health regulations, and from the proposed pandemic treaty. There's a lot to unpack here because this is all very live. For those who have listened to the show on a regular basis, you might recall we've done a few interviews with James Rogowski on this issue. But Deborah is intimately involved with the Australian scene and how this affects Australia. I just give you a little bit of a bio of Deborah because I met her for the first time when I was running for the Senate for One Nation. Deborah ran for the Senate as well. Deborah, you're there. What party was that with? Was it IMOP?
No, I was running as an independent group with Len Harris, who's a former senator.
Yes, I couldn't remember that. So you ran as an independent alongside a former senator, Len Harris, who was formerly of One Nation. But Deborah is very opposed to all the sort of stuff that we're all opposed to, the online censorship, the digital ID agenda, the surveillance agenda. She's someone who very much values individual liberty for freedom. She's for freedom very, very solidly. She's for our right to live free from government interference, from government control, which I guess is why she's so concerned about this World Health Organization and their international health regulation changes that have already passed, the ones that are proposed, and the coming pandemic treaty. Her mantra, Deborah tells me, is that no man, woman, or group thereof has the right to initiate fraud, force, or coerce against another man, woman, or group thereof. That's a pretty good mantra to live by. Deborah, tell us what is... tell us, go back to the beginning. How did you get involved in this campaign of Australia withdrawing itself from the World Health Organization apparatus?
I had a RN contact me late in 2022, and say, James Rogowski, you need to listen to this guy. You need to do something about this. At the time, I'd had a pretty big year. I'd run for the Senate earlier in the year, and I was doing whatever I could to get back against the authoritarian, totalitarian government that is implementing itself into Australia. Yeah. At a great rate of knots. So I really wasn't very interested at the time. I said, look, I'm going on holidays. I'll talk to you when I come back. So I had a conversation with the RN and James when I came back. It was on the 3rd of January, and we put together a team of people from people that I'd worked with, mainly through Reignite Democracy and through the Make Your Vote Count during the federal election. And we got to work.
Yeah. And so you've done a bunch of stuff since then. The website is actually this cornucopia of information. You know, it's unbelievable, the resources that are on that Australia Exits the Who. What's been your role, Deborah, in this campaign? Are you heading it up, or is it a very decentralized campaign?
I'm directing traffic. We've been very fortunate in that we have some really good people on board. We have a lady very similar to myself in South Australia, and we're probably the biggest networkers in the group. We have another gentleman up here in Queensland who's done a fantastic job of sending off emails. He was very instrumental in getting Adam Creighton to put an article in The Australian a month or two ago. Mm-hmm. We have a fantastic web developer, hence the reason we've got such a great website. We've got somebody on board who's very interested on the legal side of things. We've got a girl who's been absolutely amazing at helping us get our social media happening. She's responsible for the memes. If you've seen the memes out that we've had, particularly the Hey Dutton and Hey Albo series that we turned into postcards. And I'm sure I've missed somebody. We have an absolutely phenomenal video guy. Yeah. And we have a couple of other people, and I shouldn't use the term floating around, but it just helps us to keep on track and keep our administrative stuff under control. And every single person that's involved with this is a volunteer. So yeah. No one's getting paid for this. We're just all passionate about retaining our country's freedoms. And we believe that by taking out the World Health Organization, it removes a large chunk of what's being used to put in place all these controls moving forward.
We've certainly seen that over the past few years with the medico tyranny that eventuated as a result of the pandemic and measures that the World Health Organization suggested to governments. So I really do recommend anyone who hasn't visited it yet, go to Australia Exits the WHO, WHO.com. And you can get, there is so much there. You can subscribe to the newsletter, of course, and get ongoing information. You've got videos from politicians like Senator Alex Antic, Senator Malcolm Roberts. You've got those postcards that Deborah talked about on there. You've got videos that you can watch things on. You've got news reports. You've got email. You can ability to email the different senators or different MPs. You've got resources, fact packs, just a myriad of information that is so educative, and more than that, enables people to actually go and take action. You can download flyers and print them off, or you can post stuff on social media using the memes. You can write to MPs. This really is, folks, a great example of grassroots, organic grassroots activism at play. So, Deborah, I just want to particularly congratulate you and all the folks behind this campaign for what you've done thus far. You've got a petition together, though, on Australia exiting the WHO. How many signatures did you end up getting on that petition, Deborah?
I think we ended up with 55,697. And I have to say, Alex Antic put out an email about two-thirds of the way through, and that really helped us to get to those numbers. Also, just while we're on the petition, it's in the top 25 electronic petitions that have gone to the House of Reps of all time. Go. And I think it's something like 3,600 petitions. So even though 55,000 might sound like a lot, it certainly shows our government that, you know, there is concern amongst the Australian people about these terrible, terrible measures.
And, it isn't something to sneeze at, because, you know, having obviously served in the Australian Parliament for nearly 12 years, a bit over 11 years, petitions, you see them come across the desk all the time. They're a dime a dozen. Some of them rate only a few hundred, some rate a few thousand. You do tend to raise the eyebrows a bit when you get ones that come in the tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands. The hundreds of thousands are always few and far between. But I've got to say, when the hundreds of thousands come through, it's normally because it's been pushed by the mainstream media. This one, on the other hand, being in that top 25, as you said, got absolutely no traction from the mainstream media apart from that late piece by Adam Crichton in The Australian. And I'm pretty sure that was after the petition was closed, right? So that probably wouldn't have had much of an impact on it.
But yeah, Adams was actually before the petition was opened, so it didn't touch on the petition at all.
Right.
We didn't know at the time that we were going to be doing a petition. So we got zero mainstream coverage.
Zero. And you managed to do that. Well, again, as I said, this is organic grassroots democracy, very much in action here. And those 55,000 signatures are testament to that. Now, let's be clear. I know we've talked about it on this show before. I want to just go through for newcomers to this, what are the specific things that we are concerned about? We've got the international health regulation changes that have already been initiated or already been voted upon by the World Health Assembly. They are yet to come into effect, and Australia can extricate itself from those changes, but it must do so before the end of the year, before probably the end of November, actually. So that's number one. Now, we've talked about it on the show with James Roguski, but Deborah, what is the top one, two, or three things out of that that we're to be concerned about from your point
of view? So for the 2022 amendments, which is what the petition was about, that essentially there was only five amendments in that, and what we're mainly concerned about is, and they all relate to this, is the change in timeframes. So they've changed the timeframes to object from when they voted on from 18 months down to 10 months. So these were actually passed in May 2022. We're now in July 2023. If that was already in force, we would already be too late to object. They're also changing the timeframes down from 24 months to 12 months for implementation. So that will come into force on the 23rd of May, 2024. And we have until the end of November. It's between the 23rd and 27th. It doesn't really matter the exact date. It's in there somewhere. We have until then to say we object to this and to actually have our delegates put that to the World Health Association.
Yeah.
So it's really imperative that we get that stopped. Yeah. And then there's currently 307 additional proposed amendments on the table. So there were five that got through in 22.
Yeah. These are other IHR changes that are potentially on their way. I think they're going to be voted on. Isn't that very soon?
I believe that they've said that they won't vote on them until May 2024. So been under negotiation. The working group has actually said we're going to cross some out, etc. However, the working group has been appointed by Tedros, who's the director, and he's already shown previously that he'll absolutely override whatever his working group says. So there's conjecture that a lot of it we don't need to worry about because it's being crossed out. Mm-hmm. However, that means nothing until such time as it's voted on.
And so some of the scarier things that we're to look forward to, or rather not to look forward to, is are those that are contained within the upcoming international health regulation changes. And the things that I'm talking about are things like, you know, a global digital ID system, you know, a global vaccination certificate. They're the kind of things that that really do scare the horses. Would you say that's right, Deborah?
Absolutely. Really, one of the proposals is a global health certificate, and that has not been taken out of the proposed amendments by the working group. That is still in there. The working group recommended was that it appears in, I think it's 9 different places and 3 different annexes. They recommended they be all collated together in one place. So it is absolutely certainly still on the table.
Scary indeed. If you thought what we went through with COVID was bad, wait until the WHO or the UN or the WEF or all of the above get their hands on that sort of stuff. I mean, there will be absolutely no end to it all. We will be constantly at their mercy with a digital global vaccine certificate. So all of this, this petition, which I know focused on the previous changes, it has gone to the Federal Minister for Health, is that right?
Foreign Minister, as a result of the petition, what the petitions committee have said to me is that's been moved to the Minister for Health and Aged Care. I have written to them suggesting it needed to go to the Joint Standing Committee on Treaties. Meanwhile, coincidentally, fortuitously, who knows, maybe as a result of some of our memes, the content of the petition has actually found its way to the Joint Standing Committee on Treaties anyway via the Assistant Minister of Foreign Affairs. So that's the Assistant Minister to Penny Wong.
So what's happening? They're all handballing it. The petitions committee gets it, hot potatoes, so they throw it. Well, no, I'm being facetious. The petitions committee, having known the process, would normally provide that document then to the minister that looks after that particular area. So the Minister for Health is the appropriate one. But what's
yeah, which is where they have sent it to. No, they have sent it obviously, to the Minister of Health. But there's been a bit of, I would say, other stuff happening in the background, and it's finally found its way to J. Scott.
Well, sounds like what's happened is that it's been handballed from health over to foreign affairs, given that it deals with the WHO and sort of treaties or things that are like treaties anyway, who's handballed it obviously to the assistant minister, who's then handballed it to the Joint Standing Committee or Joint Select Committee on Treaties. Now, while all this handballing seems to have been going on, that fortuitously is probably not a bad place that it's landed, is it?
We're very happy it's landed there because we've been trying to find out for some months how to get something in front of the Joint Standing Committee on Treaties.
Interesting.
The fact that it's actually got there is really good because we've been comparing what it says on the government website. We've been comparing it to what the letters are that we're getting back from various politicians. We're comparing it to what's actually on the World Health Organization's website, and they don't all match up. There's definitely huge inconsistencies.
Well, let's chat a little bit more about that Treaties Committee after this quick break here on TNT Radio's The George Christensen Show.
TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
So Brandon Tate says some things that people don't like, and they don't like them because they're true. Understand this. I have every expectation that the government of Romania is doing this at the request of others. Could it be the government of the United Kingdom? I don't know. But I don't think that the government of Romania has done this of its own accord. They've arrested him and his brother, Brandon, for leading a group, his brother from belonging to the group, of men who convinced women to do TikTok videos so that the men could make the money from the TikTok video clicks. It's ludicrous on its face. And the women involved all say they're not victims of anyone. They're friends of Brandon. To which the government replies, aha, that's exactly how a trafficked woman would respond. That's exactly how a victim would respond. No, no, no. Despite your protestations, young woman, you're victims. Because we say you are, and we need you to be, so that we could prosecute Brandon and his brother on human trafficking charges. Kafkaesque doesn't begin to describe it, and yet here we are. Welcome to 2023.
The Reckoning with Timothy Shea on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
Our next steps to space.
This time we go back to the moon to learn to live, to work, to invent, to create.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the George Christensen Show here on TNT Radio. We're delving and diving headfirst straight into the World Health Organization's murky waters. There's a lot of murkiness, and part of it is the international health regulation changes that were adopted, I believe that was last year, or it might have even been late 2022. They were proposed anyway and adopted, and we've got until later this year as a sovereign nation to say we don't want to be part of this anymore. But once it goes beyond that cutoff date, we're in a bit of trouble. We have to adhere to them. And then just over the horizon, we've got more proposed changes to the international health regulations that are going to be scary is an understatement. Scary is an understatement. But I'm joined by Deborah Yule, who is part of the team that is proposing that Australia exits the WHO. They've got a great website, AustraliaExitsTheWHO.com, where you can find all sorts of articles, resources, videos, and information, helpful tools to help you send out messages to politicians and post things on social media. Go and have a look at that website, AustraliaExitsTheWHO. But before the break, Deborah was telling me about how this campaign, this group of just community-minded people who got together, did a little bit here and a little bit here, a little bit there, probably actually more than just a little bit. A lot of them were doing a lot of work, and they managed to round up almost 56,000 signatures that has gone to the Parliament of Australia's Petitions Committee. They've sent that that petition across to the Health Ministry, who've sent it across to the Foreign Ministry, who've subsequently sent it across to the Parliamentary Joint Standing Committee on Treaties. And this handballing, you might think, is just passing the buck, but actually, in a very providential way, it's ended up in a committee that the people behind this campaign desperately wanted it to end up in their hands. Why, oh, why did you want it to go to the Parliamentary Standing Committee on Treaties, Deborah?
Because being at the Standing Committee on Treaties is we can get them to hold an inquiry, right. Which means that we are going to get the opportunity to give them the facts and the information that they've desperately been trying to avoid, and to be able to show them what will happen if they don't oppose this and if they don't send our bureaucrats to the World Health Organization and send a clear message to them that we no longer want to be a part of the World Health Organization, and we specifically do not want to agree with the 2022 amendments, and that we also do not agree with the 2023 amendments. And it gives the people of Australia the opportunity to very clearly send a message to our government that this is not acceptable. One of the things they want to change is they are seeking to make the WHO a legislative authority. So currently it's an advisory board. And we saw what happened during the last 3 years with lockdowns and masks, with going away from the pandemic plan that we already had in place, which said that masks wouldn't work, that said that lockdowns wouldn't work. And they just threw that baby out with the bathwater and through the states implemented what the World Health Organization said. And at that point, they were only an advisory board. Imagine what will happen when they're a legislative authority.
Well, it'll be very, very scary indeed, because if you thought, you know, in Queensland, where I was and you are, well, I still am sitting here in a little studio in Brisbane doing this, you know, we have this gulf between the people and George Street, the government that sits down in the southeast corner of Queensland. There is an even wider gulf between the people and Canberra, our federal government. The gulf between the people and the United Nations or the World Health Organization or any globalist body, it's not a gulf. That is a gaping chasm. That is unfathomable as to how removed from the people that sort of style of government is going to be. And you're right, these proposed changes, not the ones that were already adopted, but the ones that are to come, are going to be turning the World Health Organization from a body that is probably authoritative, but at the same time, it's non-binding. So they come up with these missives, they send out to countries, we recommend you do this, we recommend you do that. Now it's going to change to, if you're a member of our organization, you have to do this, you have to do that. We make the decisions, and we get to undermine your national sovereignty just simply because we are the the World Health Organization. I think that that is so wrong because it does undermine national sovereignty and it does undermine individual freedom. We've seen it happen, obviously, during the pandemic. And if we hand the power over to this WHO, we will see what happened during the pandemic on steroids forever. It will go on and on and on. There will continue to be, health scares over the horizon that for one reason or another, the WHO has to do something or recommend something that every government around the world's got to implement. So I'm terrified about this, Deborah. I really am terrified about it. Now, do you think it is possible that we could get a parliamentary inquiry up and running into these World Health Organization international health regulation changes?
I do. I absolutely believe that we can do that. However, we do need the help of everyone that's listening and everyone that's listening to pass that on to other people so that we can get that information into the hands of the Secretariat of the Joint Standing Committee on Treaties in the next 2 weeks. So we're going to put together a letter that you can send to the members on that Joint Standing Committee and to the Secretariat, I can't say that, to tell them that we want an inquiry. And the other thing is it's in their best interests to say we don't want this because there's already been legislation previously gone through the World Health Organization. That means that once they become legally binding in nature, under an instrument of international law, they do not need to go through our parliament. There is no government ratification needed. This is our one and only opportunity to say no.
And that's right.
Our politicians are not going to have any power. They're basically going to be ceding that and handing that all over to an international body. And, you know, different people have different health needs. I was speaking to a GP the other day. You know, penicillin isn't suitable for everybody because some people are allergic to it. So there can't be a one-size-fits-all from a health perspective.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely right. So, look, that information is going to drop soon, sometime probably in the coming week, on your website, AustraliaExitsTheWho.com. Now, I'm obviously here as a TNT radio host, but I have to give full disclosure here that I'm also working with an organisation called Citizen Go, who's also been very concerned about the pandemic treaty. They ran a global petition, Deborah. It's up on their website, which you can find at citizengo.org. The global petition was telling people to oppose WHO's power grab, say no to the pandemic treaty. Now, we were rolling into that sort of catch-all phrase, pandemic treaty, all of the IHR changes and the proposed changes. It's all sort of part of the one plot, if I can call it that. We got over 500,000 people across the world that signed this petition. So there's people right across the world that are very, very concerned about this and what's going to happen. So in my role there in that organization, you know, already I'm going to join you in trying to promote people in lobbying this parliamentary inquiry to actually look at the facts, to stop just giving the mealy-mouthed responses of there's nothing to see here, this is just normal sort of international health regulation changes. No, we know it's not normal. We know that there are things in it, such as this global vaccine digital certificate. We know there are things such as the censorship of people if they are deemed to have been posing a risk to public health. I really don't understand how one person talking can pose a risk to public health. But anyway, these are the kind of things that are in this international health regulation changes, and we really need to clamp down on top of it. So I commend you, Deborah. If we get an inquiry up and running, right, it'll be one. We got to make no mistake here. It'll be one in which it's going to be already loaded against us. I mean, the people in this inquiry are all politicians, and the vast bulk of them, from what I can see, are Labor and Green politicians. There's some good people on it. I noticed the deputy chair, former good friend of mine, Philip Thompson. He's someone that has his head screwed on pretty tight, and he's probably willing to look at evidence that's brought to him. And there's also Senator Matt Canavan, who at least has been pushing back again and pushed back during the event itself at a lot of this COVID and pandemic nonsense. So there are some bright sparks on the committee, but I've got to say that's two bright sparks amongst what probably is a whole heap of dull. Do you think we'll get anywhere if we do have this inquiry? What gives you hope, Deborah, that it's going to be something that's fruitful?
I always have hope, George, and I've been amazed at what we've managed to achieve in 6 months.
Yeah.
We started this, as I said, on the 3rd of January. We did get 55,000 petitions on those signatures. We've had people from around Australia send over 20,000 postcards to Dutton and to Albanese. Mm-hmm. And the number of people that I've spoken with in the last 2 to 4 weeks, who it'd have to be the last 2 weeks, who didn't even know that we were running a petition is extraordinary to me. Yeah. So the Australia Exits the WHO movement is growing by the day. And there are people that think like us, they just didn't know we existed. So yeah. Given what we've managed to achieve in basically less than 6 months, I do believe that we can put enough pressure on this committee. We also have a lot on our social media with engagement there, with people like Citizen Go, George yourself, helping us to push this. And I'm very hopeful that we've created relationships with a number of people who have got large groups that can also help us to get this message out there. But this message needs to get beyond what I call the freedom movement. This yeah. message needs to get to mainstream. Now, it possibly won't get to mainstream media, but we need it to get to people in the mainstream because they also agree with us. They also don't want this implemented, and they are petrified about a digital ID, a central bank digital currency, because they understand it will mean the end to our freedoms. And what the World Health Association is doing is putting in place the pieces to make that happen, to allow that to be a possibility through the Global Health Certificate.
Yeah, so indeed.
They are on board with us with this, right? Mm. Thanks in large part to the work of Rowan Dean on Sky News with The Outsiders, they yes. know about these things. They may not know about the vaccinations maiming and killing people, but they know about the digital ID and central bank digital currency. They do not want to be controlled. They understand the consequences of that. So what we need to do is to get this one message about having this inquiry, a parliamentary inquiry, an official channel to them, so that they can see that that's how do I put this? That's a mainstream thing to do, right? They need to yeah. see that not as tinfoil hatter, cooker on the edge type of action. They need to see that this is something that everyday mums and dads, everyday students, everyday people in the community can get on board with. And we need to have them sending the same message to this committee.
Yeah, yeah. And that behoves every single one of us, including you listening. I mean, if you have people in your family or network or friends or workmates or even social media, Facebook friends or Twitter friends that you think don't know about this issue, well, jump on this Australia Exits the WHO website, AustraliaExitsTheWHO.com, and download some of their resources. Go and have a look at it. Go and have a look at the information that's on there. And if you find something that is, you know, makes it easy to understand, and there's plenty of material on there that does make the whole issue easy to understand, perhaps you listening need to be sharing that with those people who aren't switched on, that aren't listening to TNT radio, that don't know about Australia Exits the WHO campaign, that aren't awake, that are still sucked into the mainstream fake news legacy media void, which is completely and utterly, that void is completely devoid of the real facts and the reality around us. And the reality is that if these international health regulations take effect, this is going to be an attack that we will probably not be able to undo, an attack on our national sovereignty. And from national sovereignty will come an attack on our personal sovereignty should a pandemic or anything like it ever raise its head again. We saw how bad it was over the past couple of years. It will be infinitely, infinitely worse under this regime, because if you thought that it was bad having your rights trampled upon because of a state government in Australia or a federal government, wait until they're trampling on it from over in Geneva, even further removed from you and your life and your family. It's going to be absolutely and utterly diabolical. So we've got to do everything we can to head this off at the pass. The key thing right now, get other people aware of this. The second thing is, if you're so inclined, come back later in the week on the AustraliaExitsTheWho.com website and have a look and get the information that's going to be on there about the campaign to target the Joint Standing Committee on Treaties and requesting that they hold an inquiry into this. It's probably the least that can be done when we're talking about national sovereignty and personal sovereignty of Australia and Australians at risk. We're going to talk a bit more about this after this break here on TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
The times, they certainly are a-changing. In fact, here are some important climate terms due to the agenda-driven climate policy that we're seeing today. One, Marxist meteorological misinformation media. Purpose, blow up every event and link it to global catastrophe in an effort to change the social order. Two, Hunter Biden laptop methodology. Simply ignore counter evidence, cover it up all you can. Three, weaponization of weather. Utilize this with each event. That can just tie into the Marxist meteorological misinformation media, since that's what they do. Finally, to bundle it all up, deception, distortion, and delusion. And like I said, it sort of encompasses all of the above. So this is what we're faced with. And just remember, the guy that's leading this, the climate czar of the United States, showed up at a conference with all these medals on his chest. Likely well-earned. I'm not saying they're not well-earned. But gee whiz, didn't he tell us he threw those things away? Wonder what else he's lying about. This is TNT climate and weather watchdog meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
If you're talking about it,
over 6,000 migrants per day on average were apprehended after illegally crossing the border.
We're talking about it. Today's News Talk Radio. TNT.
Welcome back to TNT Radio's The George Christensen Show. I'm talking with activist Deborah Yule, and what we're talking about is the Australia Exits the Who campaign. The international health regulations that the World Health Assembly put forward, voted on and approved last year, shortened the time frame that nations like Australia have to remove themselves from potential future changes, makes it just all the more difficult to actually stop what is about to happen, because the changes that are going to be proposed that are coming into effect possibly late 2024, 2025 maybe, are just absolutely horrendous, completely undermine our national sovereignty with things like, firstly, undermining national sovereignty, because the WHO, the World Health Assembly, is going to turn itself from an organisation that really just gave out recommendations in a non-binding way to one that is going to dictate itself to member governments. So in other words, all decisions of the World Health Organization are going to be decisions that are mandatory and binding on all nations that are member nations of the World Health Organization. That effectively usurps something called democracy, folks. I mean, if the globalist government known as the World Health Organization decides this is something that's going to happen for your good, then it's going to happen and you are going to get no say in it. You know why? Because you don't elect anyone to the World Health Assembly. You don't even elect the Australian representatives. They're bureaucrats sent by the Australian government there. And even if they decided under those circumstances that they were going to oppose something, if the rest of the world was for it, well, tough titties. It's going to happen. This is going to be how national sovereignty is constantly undermined and how your rights are going to be trampled on from afar. They're going to be trampled on from the World Health Assembly in Geneva, not in Canberra, not in your state capital, but in Geneva, Europe. That is who's going to be dictating what goes on in future pandemics. I think this is very, very scary stuff. And that's just one aspect of it. A global digital health certificate. That's another aspect of it. There's many, many more aspects of it. And who knows about this? I mean, there's only a few people that are clued on. I mean, quite honestly, I've read a lot of information about this. I do not know every single one of these proposed international health regulation changes. I have not been able to decipher it. It is deliberately opaque. It is deliberately murky so as to confuse people, not have people clued on to what's happening. And there was no coverage about any of this in the mainstream media, in the fake news legacy media. No coverage at all worth writing about, that's for sure. But somehow, amidst all this murkiness, what we need is a bit of transparency. And so Deborah Yule and the team behind the Australian Exits the WHO campaign have been pushing for government to do something about it. I got to say, Deborah, while we had our little break there, I checked out the postcards. I hadn't actually seen them yet. These are pretty cool. You know, the postcards feature either the delightful mugshot of Anthony Albanese on the front of it or Peter Dutton. The one to the Prime Minister says, "Hey, Albo, why do you support giving the unelected WHO powers over Aussies that even you, the PM, can do nothing about?" Good question. The one to Peter Dutton says, "Hey, Dutto, do you oppose Albo giving the decision to vaccinate our kids to the WHO? Time to speak up." So these are postcards. Are they still available to be purchased on the AustraliaExitsTheWho.com website? Yes, they are.
Yeah, they've been moved to a separate page. Sorry.
Tell us a bit about them, a bit about what people do with them.
So the postcards came about because of some memes that one of our people put together. And we've had an idea about postcards, my husband and I, for a long time, and he said they would make great postcards. So we took the memes, there was three to Dutton, three to Albanese, and we put the messages that you've just read out on the back of them. And the idea is that they get the message out to, once again, to that mainstream Australia. So we post them out to you in an envelope and you take the postcards, you put a stamp on them and you put them in your local postbox. Because at your local postbox, the post person is going to empty the postbox. Now, people don't tend to send postcards these days in the way that they have in the past. So I'm absolutely positive Australia Post has noticed these postcards going through the post, right?
It's probably been a few eyebrows raised at the Australia Post as they see them coming through, and it's possibly even affecting a few people on the way through the mail system to go and look at that website and actually get to understand it. So it's very, very smart, this campaign. How many do you reckon have gone out there?
There's over 20,000 have gone out there.
Wow.
One of our supporters recently emailed into us to tell us that he'd contacted both. So we had them sent to the regional offices of Dutton and Albanese, not to Canberra, because we didn't really think it was much point sending them to Canberra. And Dutton's office have reported to us that they have boxes of them.
Well, good, good. It's the one way to get a message to them, and that message obviously is coming in loud and clear. Now, as we discussed before the break, we need to get a message to another group of politicians, and these are the people who are on the Joint Standing Committee, the Parliamentary Joint Standing Committee for Treaties, which could hold a public inquiry into the proposed World Health Organization international health regulation changes, the ones that the international the World Health Assembly voted on just over a year ago, and also the ones that are going to be voted on coming up probably next year. So the way you can do that, you can help, is by later in the week going on to the AustraliaExitsTheWho.com website, and there should be information on there later in the week that talks about how you can write a letter requesting, politely of course, that the Joint Standing Committee hold this inquiry. It's only the right thing that we actually get a say when there's so much at stake in terms of our national sovereignty and personal freedom, personal liberty, that really could be undermined, will be undermined, in fact, if the World Health Organization gets its way. Now, this would open up a great opportunity, wouldn't it, Deborah, if we did have this inquiry, because with inquiries of this nature, they have to ask the public for feedback. So that presents a real opportunity, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And we're not the only country doing this. There are groups like ours in a number of countries around the world, and the number of countries coming on board with this is growing all the time. So it's going to be big news, and we need to get our politicians on that Joint Standing Committee of Treaties to recognise that Joe Public, okay, the people that they haven't heard from before, absolutely do not want this. In the same way that Joe Public does not want the censorship bill, Joe Public does not want to cede our sovereignty and to cede our power and decisions on our health in this country to international globalists who have no idea of the specific things affecting us. So, yes, it is our opportunity to get that the public to put that in there.
I think the scary thing is that Joe Public probably doesn't know about this whole situation. Joe Public doesn't even know what the WHO has proposed, and certainly doesn't know that there could potentially be an avenue to have their say on these proposals. So that behoves all of us to let the Joe Publics in our life know what is coming around the corner here, to let them know. And as I've said repeatedly over the last 45 minutes, 50 minutes, that what is coming around the corner is global vaccine digital certificates. That's what's coming if we do nothing about the WHO. What's coming is having a binding commitment on Australia, regardless of what you think, regardless of what the majority of people in Australia think. If the World Health Organization says we've all got to rub our heads, stand on one legs and pat our bellies during the next pandemic, then that's what we've got to do. That will be the law. That will be the law as dictated from Geneva. If they come out and say that everyone needs to be vaccinated, that there is no excuse for non-vaccinated, then you will be held down and vaccinated. That will be the law out of Geneva. What were you going to say, Deborah?
Sorry. Let us remember, too, who the donors are to the World Health Organization.
Yeah.
Right? 86% is funded by donors. So that's what they call private-public partnerships.
Yes.
The largest being the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, but Gavi is also in there, and Gavi is largely funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
So the man that wants to
Gavi is Big Pharma. The man that wants to vaccinate the world, who's behind all the pharmaceutical companies, is the man donating the money to them. It's a marketing arm for him. It's a way of getting more business for his businesses.
Yeah, and look, in talking with James Roguski, the changes that are being proposed here are going to be changes that enable all of those funders, the people that have the financial skin in the game when it comes to the World Health Organization, it'll enable them to step up and take a greater role in decision-making around the World Health Organization efforts. So you won't even have to be a nation. You could be Gavi, or you could be the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and you will have a seat at the table, a seat at the table that will be the table at which these decisions are made that could be binding on nations. So, you know, this public-private partnership is basically big corporations, big globalist multinational corporations working hand-in-hand with big globalist transnational institutions, globalist governments, to actually ride roughshod over our democratic rights, over our freedom. That's what's at stake here. So I think that this is such an important issue. Deborah, what happens in the event that we can't get an inquiry up? Where do well, let's just say that the clock runs out. Where does that put us?
In a really bad situation, because we only have until November this year to stop, to say no to these amendments, to say no to the 2022 amendments.
Yeah.
And the challenge with the November, with the 2022 amendments is we would already be out of time if they go through. And that's the scary thing. One of the other things that's in the pipeline is basically what's called the Bureau's text, which is essentially a venture capital prospectus. So remembering we just talked about who the donors were, they want to build a testing centre in all of the member countries, or multiple testing centres. Why would you need to have a testing centre? They want to be able to go out and test our sewerage, our farms, our streams, our lakes, our mountains, anything they can think of to test, our fauna, our flora, and they want to be able to find sequences that they can say, oh, this has pandemic potential, right? Mm-hmm. So it doesn't even have to be a pandemic. They've somehow managed to manufacture the last 3 years as actually being a pandemic. But now they only need to have something with pandemic potential to then start to implement things. Now, if something has pandemic potential, then there is an obligation on all of the member countries to advise the World Health Organization that there is pandemic potential. And then because we've now changed them from an advisory board to making legally binding legally binding.
Yep.
Lost my word. But anyway,
mandate. Make it legally binding. It's basically going to be a mandate that they're going to be able to issue mandates of their own.
But they're not going to be mandates we can escape from, because they're going to convince mainstream that these things are legally binding. So whereas we've been able to stand up in the last 3 years and say no, we've said no, we won't have a vaccination, no, we won't wear masks, that option is not going to be available to us, because they're going to use their minions to, and they're going to be the people enforcing it. And we've already seen rubber bullets being shot at everyday Australians in Australia.
Yes, disgracefully so.
We're not going to be able to stop that, because it'll be like being in Nazi Germany when they rounded up the Jews, except this time it'll be people that don't want to take some kind of experimental vaccine.
The nonconformists. And, you know, I'm reading here an article by Reclaim the Net that talks all about this. It was an article from earlier this year. And this is one of the things that we haven't even touched on, actually. That's very important about the proposed amendments. They say here, the proposed amendments give the Director General, that's Tedros, new powers to issue an intermediate public health alert to any country in response to events that don't meet the PHEIC criteria, allowing regional directors, that's of the World Health Organization, to declare a public health emergency of regional concern, which they call a FERC, public health emergency of regional concern, and allow regional directors to issue an intermediate health alert. So what that means in normal speak is that they're going to be able to declare state of emergencies. They're going to be able to declare health emergencies from the World Health Organization, not from your democratically elected government. And so if you thought what would happen during COVID was bad, you ain't seen nothing yet. We're going to head this off at the pass. Deborah, Australia exits the WHO.com You'll probably have that information up later in the week that people can go to write those letters.
And if people want to go up and sign up for our newsletter now, then they'll be the first to know when we do have that newsletter up. They will be the first to know when we have the letter up later in the week. So if they go to the site now and sign up for the newsletter, then they'll be kept up to date with the most current information that we have.
There you go. Go and do it right now, folks. Rush over to your computer or pick up your device. AustraliaExitsTheWho.com. When you go straight to that site, it's got a big stay up to date, subscribe to our newsletter function. Sign up to it and you'll get this information so you can help get a public inquiry into this so that we can work out what indeed is going on and hopefully head this off at the pass. Very, very important. Thank you so much, Deborah, for joining us. Please stay with us, folks, for the next hour. We're going to talk to Dr. William Bay after these news headlines.